Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey Mets fans, welcome back to Amazing Avenue Audio, the show. My name is Brian. With me, as always, is Chris. And Chris, we recorded this on Thursday morning. The Mets won last night, a really good game in Atlanta with some not great bullpen pitching, but a Mets win. This is after they lost the first two games of the series while also losing their starting pitchers each to injury after only two innings in each of those games. So things are a little bit weird for the Mets right now. So let's back up to the weekend series against the Phillies. The Mets played three games against the Phillies, gave up one earned run in that entire series, and generally looked like, you know, the dominant team that we thought that they would be. Then they come into Atlanta. Like we said, Carlos Carrasco got pulled from the game after the second inning after a long rain delay. With a left oblique injury, he is out from anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, depending on which report you believe. On Tuesday, Taijuan Walker left the game after the second inning with back spasms. It appears that is not a major injury. There was nothing on the MRI that was suspect. So hopefully he's missing one, maybe two starts, and then he will be back. And the Mets also lost Luis Guillorme and Eduardo Escobar to the injured list. Tomas Nito is on the COVID injured list right now. And due to that, Brett Beatty, one of the top prospects in the Mets system, number two by most rankings, debuted for the team last night and hit a home run in his first ever at bat en route to the Mets victory. That's quite the week that the Mets have had. As of this recording, they are still 4.5 games up on the Braves. And I just want to get your general feeling for all of that stuff that happened in just a couple of days.
Yeah, it is a lot. But, well, let's see. The Philly series, it was a little frustrating that they didn't win the opening game only because it was decided with the free runner on second base in extra innings, which I will complain about every time it happens.
Yes, yes. And because Scherzer pitched a gem, too.
Right, right. And whether it benefits the Mets or not, it's just, it's like anti-baseball to me. The whole concept of the sport is that you have to earn your outs or your runs, and just giving things away for free to, I don't know, send the baseball media home sooner on their work night, it's very annoying to me. So yeah, that was just a little bit of a sour taste, I guess, coming out of that one. But then they went and took care of what they needed to do over the next 2 days. I would throw in that McNeil got spiked on an awkward play on his thumb.
Yes.
And luckily has not had to miss any time and seems to be managing stitches in his thumb pretty well. First couple of throws he made after that happened the next day looked like, I don't know, maybe he's not going to be able to really throw accurately, but he seems to have adjusted and definitely glad that he's not needing to miss any time for that. So
yeah, there was something on the broadcast that I think it was Gary that said that when Lindor hurt his finger early in the season and basically played through it, that set a tone for the team. And so McNeil, on a team that maybe wasn't playoff bound or wasn't playing the way they're playing right now, maybe he would have, you know, gone to the IL for this, but that he's playing through it. And the only real, like I said, aside from those first couple of throws, the only other thing he's really done is you've definitely seen him wince when swinging the bat. But overall, it seems like he's doing okay with that thumb.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that gets you to the Braves series, and I guess one way of putting it is that Braves fans, Braves players, Braves commentators or beat reporters, I'm not entirely sure who has what role in some of those cases. Justin Toscano is the only one that I know. Right. I know what he does because he used to do it
right
for covering the Mets.
Friend of the show, Justin Toscano.
But there's been so much talk coming out of Atlanta about luck with the Mets, which is just such a cheap thing to try to fall back on or make an excuse out of when one of your rivals is playing well. I mean, I've always found the division rival fans to be annoying. That's just sort of the way sports go. But this year in particular, it's just been, I don't know. There's been a different feel to Braves fans on the internet, whether it's on social media or in the comment section of our own site, or I don't know, some of the things that they're saying spilling over into their starting pitchers' comments after the series where the Mets thoroughly handled them in Queens earlier in the month. So, yeah, if we want to entertain the notion of luck, having two starting pitchers both leave games with injuries and back-to-back games, having thrown a total of four innings, is it certainly makes things a little bit easier on you.
Yeah.
And look, the Mets scored one run between those two games as well. Obviously, they're capable, like they did last night, of scoring runs in bunches and while they're not the home run hitting team that the Braves are, they do have some power, and that was on display last night, obviously, with a few home runs, a couple from Marte, and then Lindor, and obviously the big one from Beatty. So, yeah, I still feel pretty good about all this. I think the fact that the Walker news was good enough that he doesn't have to hit the injured list helps me sort of just, all right, Peterson slots in for Carrasco.
Williams can slot in for a starter too if need be for Walker.
Right, yeah. I mean, I certainly like Williams much more out of the bullpen in that multi-inning role and all that, but if Peterson and Williams both had to make multiple starts, I'd be a little more concerned. But right now, seems like something that they can manage and stay afloat with. This weekend will be a little bit interesting just because they have the doubleheader on Saturday, and that was already going to be where they dipped in and went and got Peterson. So instead of Carrasco, Peterson, Walker for Saturday, two games, and Sunday's one game, it's just Peterson. So we'll have to see how they approach that. I don't know. I don't know if the next McGill exists. Like, I don't know if Jose Buto is that guy.
Or Harold Gonzalez or whoever the next unexpected call-up is.
Right. But we'll see. And yeah, I still like where this team is. I still like the way they're playing. I would definitely feel the best about their chances going into October if, obviously, everybody was healthy. We know with the schedule having come out for the playoffs that there are some travel days, then travel days slash off days that have been eliminated from certain rounds. So somebody like Carrasco could be more important than he would have been in a normal playoff schedule year, where maybe you'd be looking at trying to make every start either Scherzer, DeGrom, or Bassett.
Right.
So we'll see.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I don't think he'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks, but I hope he's able to make a couple starts in mid to late September, with the playoffs on the horizon.
Yeah, that's essentially my thought with this too. Is look, the Mets are in a position now. Do I wish their lead was still 10.5 games? Absolutely, I do. But the schedule eases up for the Mets pretty soon, and September schedule is going to be so easy for them. And you know, they only have 4 more games head to head with the Braves. So it seems to me like the division is not quite locked up. I'm not going to say that, but the division is, the playoff role is more or less locked up. Their playoff odds are crazy high on Fangraphs right now. I think they're still over 98% certain to make the playoffs right now. So, you know, I'm not super concerned about them making the playoffs. I want them to win the division because I want the bye, et cetera, et cetera. But things are looking relatively positive for the Mets right now, as, you know, especially with the Walker news coming back good. You know, David Peterson start every fifth day is not ideal, but it's not the end of the world either. I think all of us were expecting Peterson to be a part of this rotation, you know, in a world where they didn't go out and get both Bassett and Scherzer. I think both of us had sort of penciled in Peterson as a starter in this, you know, in this league. And so that's okay to get, you know, 5, 10, whatever starts we're going to get from Peterson right now. My only concern with Peterson is there was this thought that I don't think was ever really going to work about making him a bullpen piece for the playoffs. And I don't like the idea of him starting games until September 15th and then trying to transition into a bullpen piece. But I never really thought that was going to work for him. He has not shown great success out of the bullpen in the majors. So I don't, like I said, that's a small detail to consider with all of this. But if Carrasco can come back the last week or two of September, make a start or two, and then be available, you know, for the team in the playoffs, that's a good outcome. And if he can't, that's a real bummer because I like Carrasco a lot. But I don't think that necessarily is the world's biggest problem for the team in the playoffs. As you said, you really, in a traditional playoff format, you only really need 3 starters most of the time. And so the Mets can get by mostly with DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett. And I think Walker has shown enough this year. I mean, yes, Walker has had a couple of very bad starts this year. But if you take, and I know this is, I hate when people do this, but here I am about to do this. If you take those bad starts out and look at just sort of his consistency over the course of the year, I think that's a very, very, I think that's not a scary thing at all to have Carrasco as one of your guys in the play. I mean, not Carrasco, Walker as your 4th option in the playoffs. I think that's absolutely fine for your team going forward. I think that's okay. So I'm not super concerned about that. You know, I'm a little bit concerned about the infield depth behind with Guillerme and Escobar on the IL. Like, you know, no offense to Marrero or to what is the name of that catcher? Is it Smith?
Michael Perez.
Perez, there we go. I don't know why Smith in my head. I just totally out of there. But like, no offense to those guys, but those guys are not the answer here. And I think there was a lot of anger from the Mets fandom that Beatty and Francisco Alvarez were not called up in that instance. And I think, you know, Nito will be back soon enough, but if Nito and or McCann don't have strong starts in September, I still think calling up Alvarez is the best move in that instance, for a bunch of reasons. Not just because not just because of his, you know, that he is hitting the cover off the ball and he's top prospect and all of that. I just think that for this team right now, when you get to the bottom of the lineup, the catching spot is such a glaring hole. To extend that lineup with Alvarez would be a really good thing. You're also bringing him into a position where he doesn't have to be the savior of the team. He would just be another cog in this lineup. I think that's good for a young player. And, you know, there was a lot of talk in the Amazing Avenue Slack about, you know, if you don't trust Beatty to come up and be good because you're afraid of sending him down, then when are you ever going to bring him up, right? Like many players from Willie Mays on down have come up the first time, not been successful, got sent back down, and then came back up and been very good. So if you're not willing to give the benefit of the doubt to your young prospects that they can handle rejection if they don't do well in the first couple weeks, then I don't know what your minor league plan is in general. I just don't get that. So I'm happy to see, you know, Beatty come up and do really well in his first assignment. But until you bring up Alvarez and or get Guillorme or Escobar back, I am a little bit worried about the Mets bench depth right now.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable thing. And we just have to hope that we don't see too much of it. Yeah,
I keep wanting to call him Eli Marrero, former Mets catcher, but that is not his name.
Yeah, that is his uncle, though, right?
I believe so, yes.
Said on the broadcast, yeah. The Mets connection you never knew might exist.
Exactly, yeah. And then I just wanted to sort of quickly get your take on the potential of a rainout today. I know that the rainout seems like it would be a beneficial thing for the Mets because it would push DeGrom to Friday in Philadelphia. It would eliminate probably the need to use Williams or Peterson. You could use one of those two pitchers instead of both of those pitchers in the doubleheader. But then you are traveling back to Atlanta at some point to play that one game. Do you have any sort of big feeling about that?
I mean, I want the game to happen, selfishly. I want them to have to face DeGrom after losing. And, they, to their credit, when Scherzer ran out of gas, they took advantage of that. And they made that game close last night and then did again when the Mets extended the lead late. But, yeah, I obviously I don't want to see for the third time this week a Mets starting pitcher have a start interrupted by a rain delay.
Right.
That would not be ideal, especially since they're being pretty careful with DeGrom. And I'm not saying they should be having him throw 120 pitches every night, but I do kind of hope that we see a bit more out of him. He's been fantastic, but just, I don't know. I don't think he has to be limited to 70-something pitches forever. If he's feeling good, which it looks like he is. And, yeah. But, you know, I'd love to be able to tune in tonight and watch, listen, whatever, as DeGrom does his thing against the Braves and gives the Mets the opportunity to walk out of there with the same 5.5 game lead in the division that they came into the series with. And we talked about that a little bit ahead of the 5-game series. And the Mets took 4 out of 5 in that one, which was huge. But any of these head-to-head series, as long as nobody's getting swept, the standings don't change that much.
Right.
So the Mets have already avoided that, but I would love for them to get the split and hey, all right, Atlanta, you now have 4 fewer games left in the schedule to try to make up that 5.5. And that would be a win. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it lines things up if they play tonight that DeGrom gets enough rest, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday? Yeah. Yep. He'd have enough rest that he could pitch in one of those Yankee games. And as much as they are struggling, I still think they're a very good team. And being able to use your two best pitchers against a very good team around this time of year is always a good thing. So, yeah. Don't rain in Atlanta, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. But yeah, throwing DeGrom and Scherzer against the Yankees and possibly sweeping the four games against the Yankees is just, I know it doesn't really matter. I know the Subway Series is, it's much ado about nothing, but if they could sweep the Subway Series, that would just be fun for the people that we encounter in our day-to-day lives who are Yankee fans, who like to mention how LOL Mets every single thing that happens to the Mets is. So if the Mets can get their two best starting pitchers against them, that would be a lovely thing. But anyway, I think that's it for the baseball. Let's have a good weekend of Mets baseball. And Chris, what is your music pick for this week?
So we had the opportunity, Courtney Barnett is doing this touring festival called Here and There, and it's a pretty cool concept. The show we saw, there were three other bands. Some of the other shows, there are a bunch more, and it sort of varies based on location and everything. And I think there's a few shows left, all of which are in the Midwest to West Coast, maybe all West Coast at this point. But we had the chance to catch it upstate over the weekend, and there were... as much as I come out of that with like Courtney Barnett's the best, and I want to just recommend one of her records every week until I run out for the next three, I'll avoid a repeat recommendation. You know, that might come around again at some point for her. But Hannah Vu was the first band who played that show that we saw. And her most recent full length record is called Public Storage, came out in 2021. And she was just really good live. Always like when you go and see, you know, opening bands and they're good enough to catch your attention. And she definitely was. So I can't say I'm as familiar with the songs as some records that I've recommended to really give the shout out to specific ones on the record. But I did listen to the record after seeing the set. I liked it a lot. She can play guitar really well. She can sing really well. Fun to watch. You know, just solid music, and always good to find somebody new who didn't really have any exposure to before. So, yeah, Hannah Vu. Hannah, H-A-N-A. Vu is V-U. And the record is Public Storage.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. So tonight I am venturing to the wilds of Brooklyn to see a friend of mine play a show, and I'm going to recommend one of his records. His name is Reed Paley. He is he was in a band that started out in Pittsburgh and moved to Boston in the mid '80s, called The Five, a four piece called The Five, because why not? And he has released three solo records since then. I found him by seeing him open up for Frank Black or the Pixies a number of times. And Frank Black once described his music to me as like being like, he only uses 100 words in all of his songs. Everything is like the most distilled, pure form of like rock and roll, but not taking it in the, it's like blues. Reed Paley plays music as if the blues never lost its like dominance on the influence on rock and roll. It's kind of hard to describe until you hear it, but Reed has this great sort of damaged voice that he sings with. He plays a 1955, I think, Gretsch guitar through this nice old Fender amp too, and just with an upright bass and a trap drum set. It's just a really, really cool throwback, And I'm going to recommend his most recent record, which actually now is 15 years old, but it's called Approximate Hellhound. And I'll specifically recommend the song Stay a While, the last song on the record. But he has not played live in a number of years due to the pandemic and some other things. So tonight is his first show I've seen in probably a decade. And so I'm really excited to go check him out. He just reissued his debut record, which is called Lucky's Tune, on vinyl for the first time. And so definitely, if you're looking for something physical to get the Lucky's Tune vinyl. But my favorite record of his is Approximate Hellhound. It's the one where I think the trio sounds the most like they sound live, and just, you know, just a really, really quality record. And I really hope he gets another record out soon. But yeah, so that's mine, Approximate Hellhound by the Reed Paley Trio. And thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. We are, I don't want to speak for Chris too much, but I'm really enjoying podcasting while the Mets are good.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
We've had a couple of years where it's not necessarily, you know, the case. And so it is fun to be able to have good teams to talk about. And so let's keep that up. Please go to AmazingAvenue.com for more Mets news, reviews, analysis, etc. And hopefully we can keep this train rolling on into September. You can find Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can find this show on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Wherever there are podcasts to find, you can find this show. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you do find it. That stuff helps us out quite a bit. I am on Twitter at Brian Needs a Nap. Chris is on Twitter at Chris McShane. And until next time, let's go Mets.